Lights. Do you know that politicians always are running for election or re-election? I know we've got an election really close, but no matter how far away or how close, politicians are always running for election or re-election. I wonder if God could stand up to the scrutiny of a political campaign. What if instead of seeing the big picture, we decided to define God by the worst sound bites we could find? Would we use "I am who I am," or maybe the equivalent, "I will be what I will be," or "I will be sufficient for what the future requires"? Or would we use something from this week's make me sick to my stomach Bible reading? Passover, a commemoration of huge importance in Judaism and Christianity, is about the deliverance of the Hebrew people out of bondage in Egypt. But right there at the end, it's a description of God saying, "I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt." It sounds like a soundbite any person who wants to paint God as someone horrible would jump at the chance to use. Can you imagine a YouTube clip of God spouting threats of murder of every firstborn in Egypt? Who would want to be associated with that? Would God double down and say that God alone is allowed to do violence, vengeance is mine? Is that what we're looking for? All right, it's possible to explain the reading from today this way. The people who experienced the events and the ones who put together the Bible thought of the evil of slavery in Egypt in very personal terms. The only way they could understand combating that evil was to experience God bringing judgment on the evil society. Look, I have great trouble separating a cultural understanding of exercising your rights at the expense of the poor, the marginalized, the oppressed, or someone who didn't have the right color skin. Or how about at the expense of anyone who might be infected because you refuse to wear a mask? We need a new start. From the perspective of those who are saved in today's reading, it's about deliverance. It's instructions for worship. It's a precursor to the Last Supper and the communion we openly enjoy today. There's something beautiful in the meal where we remember God's love for the world. There's something beautiful in the meal of community, even gathered in digital space. There's something at least a little bit strange where we remember and celebrate Jesus' death and resurrection, but it's a common meal. There's something beautiful about that community. Well, see, there's something strange because of the 10th plague. Pharaoh had warnings, right? Moses told him that he had to let the Hebrew people go or it would be bad. The rivers turned to blood. There were frogs from the sky. There were gnats and lice. There were flies. The livestock became diseased and died. There were boils, hail and fire, locusts, darkness. And then the death of the firstborn of all Egyptian families. If only Pharaoh had listened after any of the plagues and let the people go, but he was stubborn. Or maybe he didn't have patience for childish, "I'm going to hurt your friends if you don't listen to me" behavior. Well, but it's worse. The Bible says that the stubbornness was God's doing. God hardened Pharaoh's heart so that God could really let Pharaoh know who the boss was. A story that's supposed to convey deliverance, so riddled with violence and hate on the part of the protagonist. Deliverance. Liberation from bondage, an opportunity for a new life, not continued enslavement, not bettering your situation by obliterating someone else's, not remembering oppression by oppressing. Today's Labor Day Sunday. It's a Sunday while we're still in pandemic. It's a Sunday where folks are still arguing about how severe a virus is that has killed more than 180,000 people in the United States and almost 900,000 people worldwide. It's also the Sunday before the 19th anniversary of 9/11. And I wonder if today we're in a trap of hate and anger still. I wonder if we're still in that trap of the fear and the continued desire for revenge. Can we focus on stories of courage and seek to find ways to live in peace instead of seeking revenge? Ways to have more bombs and to kill more enemies than those we call enemies? Who or what group is the most popular to demonize this week? When will we really learn that violence and hate only serve to create more violence and hate? There is a whole lot more in the Bible. A whole lot more of our call to be advocates for the oppressed in the world and to be agents of love everywhere. Listen to these verses. Ezekiel 33:11. As surely as I live, says the Sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of wicked people. I only want them to turn from their wicked ways so they can live. Romans 13:8-10. Pay all your debts except the debt of love for others. You can never finish paying that. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill all the requirements of God's law. For the commandments against adultery and murder and stealing and coveting and any other commandment are all summed up in this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to anyone. So love satisfies all of God's requirements. And then from Micah 6:8. Know, O people, the Lord has already told you what is good, and this is what he requires: to do what is right, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. Today, we share communion in digital space. As we do, let's look together in peace, hope, and love. Stay away from thoughts of retribution or retaliation. Stay away from thoughts of my rights over yours. Remember what was. Restore what has been lost. Renew it all. Remember. Restore. Renew. Amen.